Sorry. Preachers get eager. They see their PowerPoint and they jump. First chapter of Jeremiah. We set the stage for Jeremiah this morning in our Bible class period as we establish the historical background. And so now we, in our minds, we go back to 630 BC around 627 when God is going to call Jeremiah to be his mouthpiece, his spokesman to the nation of Judah, to his people in Jerusalem. We said that during this period of time, God is speaking through a number of the prophets. Three of the major prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, they're all prophesying at the same time. They didn't know they were major prophets, by the way. God didn't divide them into major and minor. Zephaniah, Nahum, Habakkuk, they are prophesying and preaching during this period of time. Jeremiah, in a sense, some would say drew the short straw. He was going to have the responsibility for bearing the Word of God in the city of Jerusalem to a people who very much were rebellious against what he was saying. He is going to begin his preaching before the captivity begins. He will continue his preaching through the various sieges on Jerusalem. And he will not veer from the burden of the Word of the Lord that was given to him. And so in Jeremiah chapter 1, we find out that Jeremiah was born into a priestly family. And the text reminds us that he, in many senses, he should have had the life of a priest in a small village that was not far from the city of Jerusalem. His father was a priest. He is a priest. He's going to grow up in a small town. If he were going to project his life about what it's going to, what his life is going to be, well, this isn't at all it. He should have had a quiet life. He should have grown up in a small town with a small little group there, and he should have had his wife and his kids and his grandkids and played soccer and, you know, just all the normal things. But that's not how it's going to work out at all. Verse 4 says that the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I have appointed you a prophet unto the nations. And so, I'm saying to you, as this opens, God is saying to Jeremiah, you are not going to be a little priest in a little family, in a little town, with a quiet and tranquil life. If you thought that's what your life was going to be, think again. Because it's not going to be that. You are not going to be a priest in Anathoth. You are going to be a prophet to the nations. Wow. That is something exponentially greater than anything he would have anticipated. And I just want to say to you this morning, one of the things that we can identify with very quickly here is that Jeremiah, early in his life, began to realize that this, that is his own reality, this is not what I thought my life was going to be. Folks, I want to tell you something. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, it's exactly right. Come now, you that say, today and tomorrow we're going to go into a city, we're going to live there for a year, we're going to buy and sell and make it. What? You do not know what will be your life on the morrow. What is your life? You're a vapor that appears for a short time and vanishes away. Well, we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. I want to tell you something. There's some folks sitting here today who have lived enough of life that they can tell you with no hesitation, life doesn't work out exactly the way you dreamed. It just doesn't. Nobody's does. Can you remember 5 years ago? Can you remember 10 years ago? Can you remember 20 years ago? Or 30? Or 40? As you can remember when you were growing up and you were thinking about what I want to be and where I want to live and what I want to do. Is that your reality right now? And as you finished high school and you went to college, if you did, as you began your job, and you thought, this is where I want to go with this. Did you? And then perhaps you got married somewhere along the way, and your wife is thinking, this is going to be great. But she married you, right? And then the child is born. And is there anything more beautiful and more precious than the newborn child as he's being held and loved? And honestly, I can say this without hesitation. How anyone can hold a child and look into the eyes of that child and not believe in God, I do not know. I just don't know. But I'll tell you this. Our children don't always grow up and say exactly what we would like for them to say and do exactly what we want them to do and live exactly the kind of life that we want them to live. And the reality is, as it pertains to our physical health, to our marriages, to life and death and sickness and health and prosperity and adversity, nobody knows what life is going to be. We just don't know. And God said to Jeremiah, oh, excuse me, did you think you were going to have a nice little family in a quiet little village to live a tranquil and peaceful life all the days of your life? Wrong. You are going to be not a priest in Anathoth. You are going to be a prophet to the nation. Don't say the task is too big. I am calling you to this. Let me say to you, God promised, I will not bring to you more than you are able to bear. Do not say when the temptation comes that you can't handle it. When the trial comes, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to mankind. And God is faithful. Underscore that. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. but he will, with the temptation, provide also the way of escape. I must confess to you that at times God has far exceeded what I thought I was able to bear. What I thought. God is faithful. Ladies and gentlemen, God has called us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been called to bear the message of the gospel in a world that is desperately lost. Who would have ever believed that we were going to live to see the day that people could not figure out which public restroom to use? What in the world has happened to the culture in which we live? Who anticipated that life was going to be this? And God is calling us to stand up and bear the message of the gospel to a world that is lost in this kind of darkness and confusion. Don't say the task is too big. Don't say that. God has called us to this work. And don't say, I'm too young. God goes on to say, the word of the Lord came unto me, Jeremiah said, before God's word came to me saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Do you see that? I wish every person who is struggling with the concept of abortion and cannot figure out if a child is made in the image of God before, or I wish he could understand that God said, before you were even formed in the belly, I knew you. I knew you, he said. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I have appointed you a prophet unto the nations. Wow. Not a quiet little job. An enormous task to be a prophet to the world. And then I said, Jeremiah says, and then I said, ah, Lord Jehovah, behold, I don't even know yet how to speak, for I am but a child. God said, hey, you, stand up. You're not going to be a little prophet in a little town with a little family and a quiet life. You stand up. I have appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. He said, wait, I didn't sign up for that. I'm too young. And God said to him, verse 7, don't say that. You see that? Don't say that. I'm too young. Behold, to whomsoever I shall send thee, you will go, and whatsoever I shall command you, you will speak. God said, hey, you, stand up. I have appointed you a prophet to the nation. Wait a minute, God. I'm too young. I'm too young. God said, I know how old you are. You think you have to show God your birth certificate? He knew you before you were formed in the belly. He knows you backwards and forwards. He knows you top to bottom. And this is what ought to scare us to death. He knows us inside out. He knows. He appointed us to the task. He gave to us the responsibility of going into all the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, that's just so big. It's just so much. And God is saying, don't say that. It's too big. It's too much. Well, not me, Lord. I'm too young. And God is saying, don't say that. I want to say this to every person who's here, young ears and aged ears. If you are old enough to understand what God wants you to do, if He wants you to speak about Jesus, if He wants you to worship Him, if He wants you to show respect to your parents, if He wants you to discipline your children, if you are old enough and conscious enough to understand the will of God, you better sober up when He tells you to do something. What are you going to say to Him? What are you going to say to Him? God says to Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and stand before the Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And Moses has said, wait just a minute. I can't do that. I can't do that. I mean, you're asking me to do that? I can't do that. I don't talk very well. And God said, I made your tongue. I know how well you can talk. Folks, sometimes we're silly in the way we respond to God. As if he doesn't get it. As if He doesn't know. As if we're going to blow Him off with some superficial, selfish excuse. God said to Jeremiah, young man, I don't know what you thought your life was going to be, but I'm interrupting it right now. It's not going to be anything like what you thought. You're not going to be a quiet little priest with a quiet little family in a quiet little town. You're going to be a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah said, wait, I can't do that. I'm too young. And God said, don't say that. I wonder how many times God would say that to us. As we make one excuse after another. Don't say I'm too young. I'm inadequate. I don't know how to speak. God said, go get Aaron, your brother. Bring him with you. He can be your spokesperson. I didn't pick you because I thought you couldn't do it. I gave you this task because I made you. I know you. And I am not asking of you anything that is above your ability to accomplish. But Lord, it's just not the right time for me. I'm still young. I don't even know how to talk. Let me tell you something. When we do this business of telling God, you know, that's right and I agree with you and that is the right thing and I need to do that, but it's just not the right time for me right now. Have you ever heard people say that? It's just not the right time for me right now. You know what that means when it's translated? I do a lot of translation in Italian and English. You know what that means when it's translated? It's just not the right time for me. It means it's not convenient. Almost always, that's what that means. It's not convenient for me right now. Jesus said, come and follow me. Yes, Lord, I will come, but first let me go. Jesus said, first nothing. What do you mean, but first? First, let me go and bury my father and my... let the dead bury the dead. You want to go take care of your parents till they die? Then it'll be the right time. I'll tell you, folks, we spend sometimes a greater part of our life waiting for the right time. You need to be serving the Lord. Well, I'm young. I've got to sow my wild oats. I'll tell you what God said. He said, you better remember your Creator in the days of your youth. You need to serve the Lord. Well, I've got to finish the university. I'm just so immersed in my studies right now. I just don't have time. But I fully intend to do that. It's just not the right time. And you finish. Well, I've just got to get my practice going. I've got to get my business going. It's just not the right time. But I fully intend to do that and to get married. And I fully intend to do that. But the kids have come, and I'll tell you, it's chaos at home. And those kids, they don't sleep at night. It's a mess. We just can't do that right. But when the kids get older and we get all of our ducks in a row, has anybody ever put the ducks in a row? It's never happened. Because it's not ducks, it's a bunch of squirrels, and they're running everywhere. And that's the way we go through life. All these good intentions. All these good intentions. God doesn't open doors, ladies and gentlemen, at the wrong time. In fact, I would just remind you this morning, God never does anything at the wrong time. He's never 5 minutes early. He's never 5 minutes late. He does exactly the right thing at exactly the right time. He doesn't open a door in front of me at the wrong time, and He does not send me through that door before I'm ready to go. It's not about what's convenient for me. It's about what my priorities are. That's what it boils down to. And then he said, Jeremiah, here's the message. I'm in verse 13. The word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a boiling cauldron." You underline things in your text, you make sure you underline boiling cauldron. What do you see? I see a boiling cauldron. You talk about the wrath of God that's boiling over. I mean, He has had it with His people. They have spat in His face over and over and over again. And the wrath of God is boiling over. He said, "I see a boiling cauldron, and the face thereof is from the north." It is as if there is this huge cauldron of water, and it's boiling, and it is tipped over, and it is coming from the north. Oh, that becomes a symbol, a figure in Scripture, because judgment often is depicted as coming from the north. Guess where Assyria or Babylon was in respect to Judah? To the north and east. I see the cauldron tipped over coming from the north. Out of the north, God said in verse 14, evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. Behold, I will call all families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come. They shall set every one his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against the walls thereof round about, against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, in that they have forsaken me. He's talking about the people of Judah, his own people. They have burned incense unto other gods. They have worshipped the works of their own hands. God's judgment is about to, it is boiling over, it's about to tip over, it is about to pour out. That is the message He was carrying. It was not a message of hold hands, sing kumbaya, everything's great. Anybody can preach that. He gave to him a message of judgment that was to come. Jeremiah had one sermon that he preached for 50 years, kind of like me and Everett, retitled it and just preached it over and over again. Doom, gloom, and destruction. Repent, judgment is coming. You can dress it up and call it whatever you want. Every week it was the same message. And God said, don't say this message is too hard for me. You preach the word, brother, and don't say this can wait. Look at verse 17. Therefore, gird up your loins, arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Don't be dismayed at them, lest I dismay you before them. Don't get the idea, Jeremiah. Don't get the idea that this is merely a suggestion of one of your options for your 20-year plan. This is not a suggestion. It is not one of your options. And it for sure is not part of a 20-year plan. You gird up your loins right now. You get your shoes on. You get your preaching voice ready. It is time now to answer the call. Do not say this can wait. Now I want to say something to you folks. We're living in a culture that is terribly confused. Terribly confused about what is most important. A culture that is terribly confused about values. Values. Do you know you can be fined thousands of dollars and go to jail for disturbing the egg in an eagle's nest? What about the child in the womb of the woman? Perfectly legal. What's wrong with us? What is wrong? What's happened to our sense of values? How is it that we've just turned the world upside down as far as what is important? And God said, this is not your mom, this is not your dad, this is not your Uncle Frank from Cincinnati who's calling. I am the Lord your God. This is my voice, this is my word, and do not say this can wait. It can't wait. And I'm saying to you as we close this morning, because our time is up, I'm saying to you that in life, there are things that can't wait. And it may well be this morning in your life. In your life, as it pertains to your relationship with God, it may well be that this very day, there's some things that just cannot wait anymore. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, I want to say to you, that can't wait. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Do you know that almost 2,000 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross on Golgotha so that you and I could have remission of our sins? We are called by the grace of God and the gospel of God to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. How in this world can we even consider saying to God, that can wait. It cannot wait. And if you're sitting here this morning as a Christian who's not in a right relationship with God because for one reason or another you have forfeited or lost that relationship, I'm saying to you this morning, that can't wait. We've got a lot to do this week. We have a lot of opportunity to be together. We're going to be in the Word a lot. We're going to be talking about things that are spiritual and eternal. But right now, in this moment, your relationship with God, my relationship with God, is the most important thing. It cannot wait. And as we stand and sing this song, if you're in a situation in your relationship with God that is not what it ought to be, you need to understand that from the perspective of the Almighty God, that cannot wait. Don't say that. Instead, won't you come to the Lord while we stand and sing?